The milestones are coming thick and fast here on Sportspiel. Having celebrated our 3-year anniversary and our 100th episode over the last few weeks, today marks another special occasion as we welcome on our 100th and 101st guests from a professional sporting background. I'll let you argue amongst the two of you between who's who. But I am delighted to say they are both fantastic cricketers as we welcome on Ashes winner Kate Cross and 2017 World Cup winner Alex Hartley. Fantastic to have you both on the show and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us. I spoke first, so I'll be the 100th.
No, I'm actually first in alphabetical order, so Cross comes before Hartley, so I'll be 100, you be 101.
Right, whatever.
I'll let you fight that out between yourselves. But as well as their prowess on the cricketing field, both Kate and Alex have found fame in recent months for their hit show, No Balls, the cricket podcast, which is now also included in the top line of both of your bios on Wikipedia, if you've seen that.
Oh, how good is that?
I didn't know that. Did you do that, Hartley?
No, I didn't.
So we did get in touch via the podcast, in which you called me a psychopath, and rightly so. But the podcast started late 2019, so I was just wondering how the idea came about and what your sort of initial thoughts were for it.
You know what? We got badgered on Twitter by maybe 3 or 4 people all saying, would we be willing to do a podcast? Because you say we've found fame. I wouldn't say we've found fame, but people know us for our friendship and kind of the banter that we've had on social media. And one of my friends in particular, who knows Hartley as well, said to us, you need to do a podcast because it would be brilliant. And we just got bored one day, didn't we? And we just thought, let's see if we could do it.
And well, it was the fact that I'd lost my England contract and I had nothing to do. And you were like, all right, shall we do this podcast then?
I did promise, didn't I? I said, whatever you want to do, we'll do it. And you're like, right, let's do the podcast. I was like, oh, okay.
So here we are.
Yeah, 18 episodes in.
When you initially setting up then, did you have a rough idea of what you wanted to do, or were you making it up as you go along?
We literally had absolutely no idea. So Crossy was still training with England. So I was like, right, I'll do all the research. I'll look into how you even get a podcast on iTunes and Spotify, because we had no idea. And then we sort of got together one evening and did like a trial run and just spoke for like half an hour at each other, 2 hours. We ended up actually not half an hour, was it? We ended up editing it for a half an hour episode, but we were talking for like 2 hours. And we were like, we're going to need some like ideas of what to do here.
We kind of like, we're using our family, weren't we, to bounce ideas off each other and how to make it kind of cricket related. But I remember we both started listening to Chris Ramsey's podcast. And he does it with his wife, who's, you know, she's not a comedian, but we both said she's funnier than him. And I remember you said to me, Al, you said something along the lines of, if she can be on a podcast and be funny, then so can we. And then I think we just rated ourselves. And then next minute, we'd done this little trial run and sent it out to our families. And yeah, then, well, you did well, because you, like you said, you did all the research and I've got no idea about that technical stuff. You got RSS and stuff like that, didn't you? I still don't even know what that means.
No, I don't know how I did it, to be honest.
So when that trial was over and you'd established that you had something potentially quite good here, the first episode came out, how did it feel actually submitting a podcast and putting it out there and for thousands of people potentially to listen to?
Well, we were so excited because after the first episode, we had 40 people that listened and we were like, this is amazing. Oh my God, 40 people want to hear us speak. But then as each week's gone on, we've become more and more obsessed with it. And now we get more nervous on who's going to listen, how many people are going to listen.
We were really, really nervous when that first one went out, though, because we'd only sent it to like Al's mum and dad, my mum and dad, the guy who'd convinced us to do the podcast in the first place. So it was only our loved ones who were giving us feedback. And naturally, they were going to say, yeah, it was good and you should do it. But when you put it out on the internet, you've obviously got people who don't know you who are going to be willing to give you criticism and probably it'd be like true. So that was the thing I was most nervous for, was the fact that we'd probably put ourselves out there because we thought we were really funny and then people might turn around and go, no, you're not funny. Why are you doing a podcast? So I was really nervous the day. I think we put it out on a Saturday, the first one, didn't we? And then by like 12, we were just we were looking at numbers and like ringing each other and getting nervous about it.
So how was that sort of first podcast for you when it was out and you had sort of a good listening and you had a good reaction from people? Did it make you want to go straight away and go, let's do another one? Or did you sort of think, okay, we actually need to sort of plan this out and have a really good structure to it?
I can't remember the differences between the first and the second. I know like naturally we got more comfortable, I guess, with each other, not in an interview sense, but I remember the first time we sat together in that room, we were like, hello, Alex, how are you? And it was like almost really forced. Whereas now I think we're a lot better at just talking to each other and being more of our natural selves, I think.
It was quite nice when we started because we actually weren't seeing each other as much as we used to. So we used to see each other every single day of the week. And because Kate was still training and I wasn't, it was actually a really good excuse for us just to catch up as well.
Yeah.
And the podcast has since evolved and since we've gone into lockdown and isolation, it's become a weekly thing. Was that more of a natural progression, or was that because you maybe had a little bit more time to fill given that we weren't doing anything?
Bit of both, really. We missed a few weeks, didn't we, when you were at the World Cup. So Crossy went to the World Cup and I was out there commentating and said, right, we need to get one out every other week. But there just wasn't time, you know, we didn't have time. I think we did one in the 4 or 5 weeks that we were there. So we haven't got catching up to do.
I mean, our schedule it's not been specific, has it? Because we've struggled. You went traveling for 2 months, so that was really difficult. You were in the Grand Canyon when we were doing one of the episodes and your signal was terrible. So I almost think we kind of lost interest in it when it was too difficult to do, and then now we've found a way of doing it more frequently. It's actually been a bit easier, and I find editing a lot easier now that we've done it a bit more. But we did say, whilst lockdown was on, we'll do an episode every week until the numbers go down. And we kind of thought, oh, they'll go down at some point. And they've gone up, haven't they? Because obviously people got nothing to do, or nothing better to do than listen to us to chirp on.
And which we got to a stage where we're both like, oh, the numbers have gone up, we're going to have to do another.
Yeah. But you do get a lot of positive feedback as well. You see it on social media, or you guys read it out. How much does that mean to you to know that people are actually really listening and enjoying what you produce?
I found it all really strange because obviously we're used to people coming up to us at cricket games and on cricket fields and asking us to have a little chat. And the fact that we're getting 50 or 60 emails a week of people wanting to talk to us and wanting advice on things or wanting questions answered, I just think this could be something really good.
I think as well, we get regular people that send us questions in, but then I've noticed in the last couple of weeks I've got like names in the inbox that I've not seen before. So it's obviously either new listeners or people have passed it on to someone or however they've got hold of it. But I think it was when we started getting more and more emails that I realised that like people were genuinely interested in it. Because when you get the same people on Twitter giving you kind of the same feedback, you almost think, oh, is there only 4 or 5 people out there that are listening to it? When you actually, like Al said, you see these people getting in touch, you think, oh, they actually do, they want to be part of it and they want to get the question read out or their advice, whatever it might be.
Speaking of advice, one thing you like to give a lot of is relationship advice. How did that come about?
This is my ultimate favourite thing because me and Kate are both not really great with relationships.
It's like the blind leading the blind, isn't it? Like someone messages us in and we're absolutely terrible with relationships. So I don't know why people think they should come to us, but they do. They keep sending them in.
I think it's brilliant.
I think it's because we give terrible advice. So I think people just want to see how bad we can get.
Was there one specific example of an email in that set that off, or did you say to people, we'll answer anything?
I think we did get an email.
Yeah, it was just an email. We didn't ask for it. Because
the guy who hit the girl he fancied in the nets on the head with the cricket ball. That's what started.
Yeah. That was Maxwell's episode, wasn't it?
That was so good.
And you told him to do a TikTok. I mean, that's the standard of advice we were handing out. So it's not great.
Are there been any other particular highlights of pieces of advice you've had to give?
Last week's of us telling someone just to bin somebody off because we were like, nah, we wouldn't put up with that, bin them off.
You told a young girl to pack in cricket. That was your first bit of advice when I think her captain wasn't bowling her and you said, oh, just pack it in, start taking up hockey or something. So take our advice with a pinch of salt, I think.
We take them in the hockey world. But one thing that you sort of, we mentioned there is that you're giving just general relationship advice, but it is a cricket podcast, but it's not a podcast just for cricket people. It's a podcast anyone can understand and listen to, a bit like that Peter Crouch podcast or House of Rugby. Was that a sort of vibe that you wanted to go for when you initially set it up, or is that something that's just progressed naturally?
I think that's just progressed naturally. We set it up as just two friends chatting, talking cricket, being like, if anyone has anything that they want to ask, get in contact. And a lot of the questions were all cricket based. And as the podcast episodes have gone on, the questions are now developing into other sorts of things, which is quite nice, leading us and keeping the podcast moving.
Yeah, we never really had a plan, did we? We always had, like, the LBW is the only thing that we've really kept consistent all the way through. Everything else we've kind of flitted in and out of. And that's what I think I mean when I say we've kind of developed and got better at how we communicate with each other, because I think my mum said, like, she said that they'd flow a lot better now, because we thought we might need little bits of music, didn't we, to fit bits together. And then something, we don't even talk about that anymore, because first of all, we won't have to do it, but second of all, we don't need that anymore. We just kind of float through the episode. So it's actually we've never really talked about it and how it's developed, has it? So for us, this is probably like the first time we've actually picked it apart. And I was just gonna say, primarily there aren't many female sports people doing podcasts, which was one of the reasons why we thought it'd be a good opportunity as well, because everyone hears or sees a lot of the men cricket on telly, but no one really sees the girls' game or like who we are as characters. So we kind of want to get that across as much as possible.
There was one time we spoke, it must have been episode 7 or 8, maybe 6 or 7, and we said it's very repetitive. And we were like, right, how can we mix it up a little bit to try and shake it up? Because when we've listened to previous podcasts and they've been the same the whole way out, we've both lost interest in them. Yeah. So we're trying to keep it fresh. So if you've got any ideas, let us know.
Yeah, pass them on.
I mean, we're a slightly different podcast in that we're all about the athletes. Like, no one knows really who we are, so it's just about you guys talking as much as possible, so I can't give too much help there. But speaking of the LBWs then, like, and those little segments, how did the idea for the LBWs come about? Because that's probably one of my favorite bits, is just listening to you guys just giving that, and it's a cricket related theme. Was that again just a bright idea, or just something that evolved?
We could probably go back to our WhatsApp chat, couldn't we, and find that out. I remember you'd done something, and we were sat in your living room.
You kept your trainers on inside, and I said, you are weird.
And then we thought that could be a good little segment of, like, people coming on doing the things that they find weird. And then it occurred to us that LBW is a little bit weird, obviously, is a cricket thing. So then that's when we thought we'd try and have, like, a cricket theme throughout it. But there was loads that we tried that just, like, we were going to talk about cricket every week, weren't we, and what was going on in the world and who was playing and who doing well. And then we thought, oh, you can just go on BBC Sport to look at that. No one's going to want to hear me and Al talking about Quinton de Kock getting 100 or whatever.
And going back to something you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Kate, you spoke about how there aren't many female cricketers out there recording podcasts, and there actually aren't that many female sporting stars out there. I'm sure you've probably both seen, like, the reactions to BBC Sport posts and Sky News posts about, like, the WSL and things this week. For you guys as female athletes, how important is it for you to be putting yourselves out there and getting yourselves known at this time?
I think it's really important. Probably one of the next steps for us is to try and branch out and get different types of guests on our podcast. So we only ever really have the England cricketers on because they're just easy to get on. And you just text your mates and you say, do you fancy it? But the next step is probably try and get different people on and try and broaden our horizons. And I think when people start seeing our outlook on sport and how we get on as people and what difficulties we go through, it becomes a lot more relatable.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that we did it to get ourselves known, did we? We kind of just did it to see how it would go. That probably sounds really daft, but...
But we just thought... We said to each other, we're funny together, why don't we show everyone else?
Yeah, and there's been loads of times where, like, our mates have said to us they really enjoy our company, especially when we're kind of, like, at our liveliest or taking the mick out of each other, whatever it might be. So I think we kind of just fed off that. We didn't do it to be famous in the podcast world or anything like that. And more than anything, I found, I don't know about you, might not say the same here, Al, but Wednesday, which is our recording day now in lockdown, is my best day of the week, because even if we come into the podcast and we're in a bad mood at the beginning, we're like, we've cried laughing throughout it. So it's, you know, it just, even just for us two selfishly, it's like a really good day for us, and like I feel loads better after it. And then I've got to edit it and I've slumped down again.
Yeah, we actually, when we recorded with Soph last week, she texted us straight afterwards. We finished at like 10 p.m, didn't we? It's a really late one. And she said, I can understand why you do that. I've had an absolute laugh over the last hour. And that's the reason why we do it, because we just really just enjoy it.
And that definitely comes across. I've enjoyed every episode I listen to, and it is genuinely really funny. On the similar sort of note then, what are perhaps your the funniest or favourite moments that stand out from recording the podcast so far?
Do you know what? There's been so many. But for me, last week, Sophie Eccleston, just trying to understand what she was saying. Like, yeah. And then she's saying, my boyfriend wants me to do fades and stuff on his head. What am I going to do? Like, and that, for me, just, I couldn't stop listening to that line when I was editing it. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I think every guest that we've had on has had something, like, not memorable, but they've had like a highlight for me. Like Keaton, the fact that we had to record Keaton's twice was horrendous, but it then almost became a better podcast because of it. And I think my favorite episodes of when Sophie's a good example of this, but she was just herself. She wasn't in interview mode. She wasn't, you know, worried about saying, she was just Sophie that we know. And that's what we were so desperate to get across, because we see her like that in the dressing room and how much fun she is. And we, you know, when she does go into interview mode, she kind of freezes up a little bit. So we were thinking of ways of how to do that best, weren't we, Al? And we thought that if we got her on as like a co-host, then she might relax into it more.
I mean, we tried to ask her a couple of serious questions, and I said, how's it feel? Like, do you feel pressure being the world's number one bowler in the world? And she's like, well, I'm not good at anything else. I'm like, right, this podcast is not going to be serious.
Yeah, she was good, but there was so many, like, some of the highlights for me, I think, were the ones where we'd not spoke to each other because you were traveling. And then we got that, like, it was a good opportunity. The one that stands out for me was when you were at Disney World or wherever you were, and it's the Jurassic Park theme tune was playing in the background, and it just epitomized how much of a shambles our podcast is, but also like kind of how real it is. And we're not very good at editing, but it didn't really matter.
Nah, that's all good fun, and I think it actually, having the rawness of it actually makes it more enjoyable to listen to rather than something that's so polished. But you spoke there about how you've recorded and when you've been in different countries and things like that. How challenging has that been with time zones and Wi-Fi and all of those sorts of things?
Well, when I was traveling, it was a nightmare, wasn't it? Absolutely. It was a nightmare.
Yeah. We almost racked it off, didn't we? We just said, like, let's leave it for 2 months. I mean, we'd only sent out 3 episodes at that point. I don't know who we thought we were, but it is, now that we've got our system, it seems easier, but the time difference was just the hardest. And especially when I had commitments like training or matches, and you were just so hard to get hold of because you were, like I said, you were in the Grand Canyon at one point.
I mean, there was actually an episode where we recorded it. It took us like forever to arrange a plan. And I'm sat outside Five Guys on their Wi-Fi trying to Skype Kate, and I've got my headphones on and I'm recording it. And I start editing it on my bus, which was like a 4-hour journey to Mississippi or wherever I was going. I had no idea. And I rang and I was like, we're gonna have to do it again. She went, why? I went, because it's and that was when it was just me and Grossy.
Well, you'd only had your 45 minute food break at the services, hadn't you? So we tried to squeeze it in. I think we've learned a lot of lessons from that, and the times where we've been in a rush, they're the worst ones, because we're constantly looking at the clock and thinking, right, we've only got 45 minutes to get this done. Whereas when we've got a full day to just laugh and plan and do, then we're a lot better. I say plan, we don't really do much planning, do we? Only if we have a guest on do we plan.
That was going to be my next question. How much of it is planned, or does it just flows naturally? Like, you know, you've got a rough structure and you just go for it.
I'll show you how much planning. Let me get my notepad.
While she's getting a notepad, if we've got a guest on, we always like set out some questions for them that are a bit like the obscure type of questions that they're probably not going to get in the media. So we'll ring each other maybe the day before or the morning before we ring a guest and have that all set out. But if we're just going through the emails, then we literally just crack on, don't we? And just if one of them's no good, we'll just edit it out.
Episode 13.
4 pages. I think we, to be fair to us all, we do plan a bit more now.
Yeah, we do. Well, I always write down my trough and peak of the week because otherwise I can't remember anything. And we obviously ring each other the day before to plan the questions for our guests, and that's it really.
Yeah, like we'll record on a Wednesday. We won't plan anything for that because we've got about 25 emails to read through. So we'll just kind of sift through them. If some of them are no good, we'll go leave them. If they're fine, then obviously we'll keep them in.
To be fair, I wasn't expecting our one to be read out. So
yours got read out because you did a psychopath move.
For those who listen to Sports Brother, maybe haven't listened to the podcast, I admitted for some reason that I'd started listening to Noble's The Cricket Podcast in reverse order. I quickly sorted that out, but why I felt the need to admit that, I'll never know.
Why would you do that?
Because I'd seen the podcast and I clicked the first one on iTunes and I listened to 3 or 4 in a row and it was just going in backwards order as I was doing my work. So
the only thing, the only saving grace that you've got is they're not really linked.
You're listening to Sportspiel, the Players podcast.
One thing you've alluded to there is how much you enjoy recording the podcast, and the friendship you guys have is evident, and it's clear to see how well you guys get on. I was just wondering if you could go back to maybe the first time you met and sort of what your memories are of that and first initial impressions of each other.
Crossy was scary, I'm telling you now. She was a few years older than me and she's just got this resting face. but no, for me, like, I'm sure I spoke about this in a previous episode of our podcast, but obviously not with you guys. Crossy was one of my idols because she played cricket for England. She was in the England Academy. She was somebody I wanted to be. So I got my claws in and now we're best mates.
So, well, I don't think a lot of people would know. We're not the same age. There's 4 years difference with us. Three years? I'm not sure. But I was this little kid who came and played, I think it was the under 17s for Lancs. Was that when I first met you?
Might have been
the 15th. You were young anyway, and you were the same person that you are now. Like, you don't think before you speak. There's no filter, it just all comes out. And I remember rolling my eyes, so I still roll my eyes at you, don't get me wrong, but like, she was just this little kid who didn't care. And in cricket sense, she was there to prove a point as well. Like, a lot of people had, I mean, if you listen to the podcast and you'll have heard some of the stuff the coaches used to say to her, but like, she was just always there to prove a point and wanted to play for England, no matter what that took. We weren't really good mates, were we? We only became mates when you got into the England side, and we'd been in the England Academy together. We'd played Lancashire cricket together, and we weren't good mates whatsoever. We used to share lifts to England Academy stuff. In fact, go on, you can tell this story.
So, right, this is one of my all-time favourite stories. Kate had just passed her driving test and we both were on the England Academy. And our parents obviously knew each other through watching us play for Lancs together. And my mum rings Dave and Christine Cross and said, "I'm really sorry, I can't take Alex this week. Please, could she jump in with Kate?" Kate texts me saying, "Hi Al, no problem, can you meet me at the services?" Yeah, so we go to Loughborough, fine and dandy. We get there, on our way back, she crashes the car.
So I was 17, you would have been, what, 14, 15 at the time. I slammed into the back of someone at some traffic lights and thought, oh my God, I've got a passenger in the seat here and she's a young girl and her mum and dad are never going to forgive me. I look over and Harley's like, open this packet of buttons, like Cadbury's buttons, and she's like, "Mate, do you want a button?" I'm like, "Al, I'm going to have to go and get some insurance details and then I'll get back in the car and we'll sort this out, but you eat the buttons." And it actually, we were talking about this just before we came on this call, but it epitomises our friendship, doesn't it? It's just an absolute car crash. Like, we are a shambles. A good shambles, but nonetheless, it started with a car crash.
Are your friend, your parents quite good friends as well? Is it sort of the whole Cross Hartley clan get on quite well, or is it still just mainly the two of you?
It's mainly the two of us. Like, our families obviously get on, but they don't text and ring each other. They don't go out for dinner. If we're on a cricket tour, an England cricket tour, they'll go out for dinner if we're there, or if we're playing a Lions game, they'll sit together. But yeah, that's probably about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Northerners kind of stick together as well, don't we? And we're from the same neck of the woods, really. You're probably, well, you are a bit more northern than me, but I think it's just that they've got something in common. And like Carl said, they don't like spend time together, really. So it's strange when you think about it like that. I don't know why we're friends. I don't know what we've got.
We were actually forced to be my friend in 2017 because I failed fitness testing. And the S&C said to Crossy, do you mind taking her to the gym to try and get her fit? And she went, oh, all right then. And that was it. We've been inseparable since.
But, and I'll be fair, this is the only time I'm going to say anything nice to you, but I was in a really, really tough mental place at that point, and I was hating cricket. I hated training. And I didn't realise the value of training with someone. And then our S&C did ask me, he said, would you mind kind of taking Hartley under your wing and taking her to the gym? And that was when we started spending more time, and we only gymmed, didn't we? We didn't do anything outside of cricket or gym probably until a few months in. But Hartley, like, going back to what she was like as a kid, she was just there for the pure enjoyment factor, and that, like, really shone through to me, and it made me realize what I was doing, not wrong, but why I wasn't enjoying my cricket so much, because I was just putting so much pressure on myself to get everything right. And Al was there going, oh no, it's fine to make mistakes, it's fine to make a tit out of yourself, and, you know, whatever it might be. And she kind of taught me that you can still have fun while you're doing something professionally.
Is that something that you've found throughout your friendship then, is that, you know, when one of you is going through something difficult, that the other one is there and is able to help you through that?
Yeah, I've never relied on someone so much in my life as of, like, from September to December, from when I lost my England contract, and Crossy was just there for me every single moment of every single day. You know, if I couldn't sleep, she was up talking to me. If I felt like I was really depressed and I didn't know where to go, she was there. And I'd like to think vice versa.
I think it helps, Al, that, like, you, up until probably September, you'd not really been through anything as, like, not traumatic, because obviously there were things in the world, but I don't remember you ever really having a phase in life where you struggled so much. So, whereas now I feel like you've been through something, you see it from the other side as well. So you kind of understand where I'm coming from when I have a bad day now, or and vice versa, like, I understand what you're going through.
I mean, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cards in my bedroom of people who've tried to cheer me up during lockdown when I've had bad days, and every single one is from Kate. So that just shows we take the mick out of each other, and we come across as if we're so cold-hearted towards each other, but we do actually really care and love each other. And,
yeah. Don't let the secrets out of the bag, Al.
One thing that people who listen to the podcast will notice is that you are both very open about if you've had a tough day, and you are willing to speak about it. Again, is that something that's just natural to you to that you want to sort of address that and explain that actually it is okay to have bad days and that you have people there to help you through it?
It's not something that being open comes naturally to me. Talking about my feelings does not come natural to me at all. And that's something I've learned from Kate and through the experiences Kate's been through. And it really does help when you talk about it. And I think I've learned that from Crossy because she's so open about it. I would often just sit in my room on my own and cry and just go, oh, I'll be all right tomorrow. And if I'm not all right, I'll be all right the next day. So I've learned that from Crossy.
I'd like to think as well that our podcast is, like, fully representative of what we're like as people. So, like, it's not, nothing's false that we don't say, oh, we're going to talk about mental health this week because we should do, or we've not spoke about it for a while. It's just, you know, if one of us has had a bad day, we'll just bring it up. So that is all fairly natural.
I mean, that proved because it was mental health week last week and we didn't even talk about it. We completely forgot, didn't we? Because we were both in an all right place and we were both having a good week. And so you texted me on the Friday going, oh no, we forgot about that. But that's just, it didn't matter because we've spoken about it in the past.
And you also did, for those who haven't read it, the piece with BBC Sport as well, which is a fantastic read for anyone who does get a chance to listen to it. So you've talked about there how that you are actually very nice to each other, but as you have alluded to, it's quite savage and quite blunt on the podcast. Twitter feuds as well. There was a point where one of you unfollowed the other and the other blocked each other. I guess, can you sort of explain what happened there? Because it got a little bit confusing.
Yeah, I'll take that one. So Hartley had an obsession early on in lockdown with TikTok, and I didn't mind it, but then she put this horrific video up of her dancing. And it wasn't even the dancing that was the worst bit. It was the fact that she'd taken her shirt off and was doing it in a sports bra because she'd lost a bit of weight. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not sitting here and watching this. So I just unfollowed her. And then as a retaliation, she blocked me.
Well, I purely blocked you for the podcast because she unfollowed me and people noticed. People were like, whoa, Kate's unfollowed Alex. Like, what's going on? So I was like, you know what? For next week's episode of the podcast, I'm going to block her.
Fair enough. And Kate, what are your views on Alex's TikTok videos in general?
I don't mind them. Some of them are actually really funny, but it's the ones that don't make me laugh, or the pointless ones. They're the ones I don't understand why people do them. And that's, to be fair to her, since she hasn't done any of those and she's only sent me funny ones. So, but I'm like that with you with anything. I'm like, if you train with your shirt off, I'm like, what are you doing?
Do you know what? I've lost 7 kg or something stupid. I was like, I'm taking my kit off.
You're an idiot.
And then there was the David Warner attempt at the pairing on TikTok as well. What happened there, Alex?
Right. So I had a couple of messages like, why have you done it on your bed for a start? But if you watch all my other TikToks, I do them on my bed and in my bedroom because I feel a bit embarrassed doing them around the house in front of my mum and dad when I was living at home. So I got on the bed and I had my cricket bat and I did, and I smashed the light above my head. And I was like, oh no, I had a helmet on. Oh, it was just a disaster.
That was brilliant though. That was the funniest one I've seen you do because it was just so horrendous. And I really, really hope David Warner saw it too.
I think we all certainly do. One of the other things as well that comes across is the amount of banter you have with each other on social media as well. And that's actually really refreshing to see because sometimes professional athletes can be quite sanitized. So it's good to see you two having a laugh and a joke. But how much do you actually enjoy spending time on social media and the different platforms?
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because yesterday I had a no social media Sunday. I just thought I'd try it. I heard it on another podcast actually. So I just blocked all my apps that were social other than WhatsApp so I could talk to people. And I genuinely, I didn't miss it. And at nighttime, I slept really well last night. But normally at nighttime, I'm scrolling through my phone just pointlessly. And I said to Al, the amount of times I just picked my phone up, realized all my apps were blocked. So I put my phone back down. Really surprised me. And it made me realize how much I just go on social media because. One of my favorite things on social media is when Hartley puts a new photo up because I sit there for 5 minutes and think, right, what is my funny comment going to be? And we don't put nice comments on each other anymore, do we? It's just savage comments.
But I love going back through Crossy's posts and back to 2013, and she'll have put a picture on holiday saying not coming home, and I'll be like, did you come home? Did you? How's the holiday going? But we genuinely text each other going, right, what can I comment on this picture today?
Yeah, nothing. In fact, the only time I commented on something, I had to text you, didn't I? Because your dad shouted at me. Was it on Twitter?
Yeah.
I can't remember what I said, but I thought I'd gone too savage on you because your dad replied to the tweet as well. And I thought, oh no, Dave Hartley's getting involved, that I'm in trouble. But it was just more banter.
But we've never made each other cry. We've never upset each other. We're so different, but we're the same person at the same time. And our bluntness and our savageness is just part of our sense of humour.
We all often say, don't we, if we don't laugh about something, then we'll probably cry about it. So we'd much rather see the funnier side of it than have to sit and comfort each other with tears and ice cream or whatever.
So is social media something then you enjoy as athletes and as people spending time on there, or is it something that you almost feel like you have an obligation to do, I guess, in a way?
There's two sides of that. So for me, I actually really enjoy it, and I enjoy just putting stuff on Instagram. I'm not so much a massive Twitter user anymore. I just use that for the podcast. But there's another part of me that thinks if I was a male cricketer and I'd been as successful as I am as a female cricketer, I wouldn't have social media.
Any particular reason for that?
I think just for the sheer amount of messages that you get. So even now, me, with only the followers that I have, I still get abuse on social media and have people, I still have people messaging me being like, you're fat, you're ugly, you know, you're rubbish at cricket. And I just think if I was a male cricketer and such a bigger following, it would be so much worse.
Because, I mean, the men just get so much abuse. And I think the thing for me is that people think that you're just anonymous on the internet. And then Al's very good at this, but like I've started calling people out on if someone remarks on something or says something out of order, then, you know, if you put them back out there and say, well, why have you got the right to say this to me, but I don't have the right to say something back? Suddenly they're like, oh, I'm really sorry. And it's interesting how many people backtrack quickly once you've like highlighted them and what they've said.
It's very interesting to hear, because in hockey we have a lot fewer followers, but the athletes who do have a bit more following say they do get a lot of messages, and they're almost like scared to call people out sometimes for fear of like what we and the comms team will say. But actually, like, I know I've seen both of you have done it, it actually works, I guess, in some occasions.
Yeah, I think Kate's got to be more careful with what she says, because she's still a professional cricketer and still plays for England and represents England. Whereas now, I do not care. And if you call me out or you say something, it's going back at you and you're having it.
I also think there's been so many times where like women's cricket has got abuse. And I just think, my view on it now is like, if you had a daughter who wanted to play cricket, would you ever stop them from doing that? Or if it was hockey, whatever it might be, just because you don't like it, like, would you take that opportunity away from them? And that's the kind of like view I try and get across now, is does it matter if you don't like cricket? Some people do. So why waste your time like using a pointless comment that doesn't help anybody, you know, to say it? It blows my mind, actually. It's fascinating, some people out there.
I completely echo that statement. Zoom is just about to run out on our first call, but I do have a couple more quick things for you. So after this short break, we will be back.
You're listening to Sportspiel, the Players podcast.
Welcome back, Sportspiel listeners. And as we discussed earlier on in the podcast, we wanted to bring you a sense of what it's like to be listening to the Nobles Cricket Podcast. So we've brought across a couple of the segments from the show to give you a taste. And then if you enjoy listening to it now, then you will enjoy listening to it in its entirety. So first of all, I've got a few LBWs for you to answer. These individuals will remain anonymous. Mainly food related though. So first of all, in a fish finger sandwich, like a BLT, a lot of people put mayonnaise. That's not particularly weird, I don't think. But using mayonnaise, like spreading it on the bread instead of margarine or butter, is that a little bit weird?
I find the mayonnaise weird.
I think mayonnaise on a fish finger sandwich is weird.
Well, why are you not putting some hot ketchup on that?
This isn't me, this is my dad.
Oh, anonymous.
Anonymous, yeah.
He doesn't listen, it's fine.
I must admit, sometimes when I don't want to put butter on bread, I'll put mayonnaise. But that's if I'm having a sandwich that requires mayonnaise, not fish fingers.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've used a condiment as my, like, spreader. But I've never used mayonnaise in a fish finger sandwich. That's the weird thing here, spreading.
It's right when you put butter before peanut butter. That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. So you know the Müller Corner yogurts you get, and you get the chocolate ones where you like tip in the flakes or the balls. Leaving some of those in the separate pot and then eating them after you've finished off the rest of the yogurt, just eating them by themselves.
I rate that. I really rate that.
No, they're designed to go in the yogurt. So why you eat, if you want them separately, then buy some chocolate buttons or something. Put them in.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I used to do that.
The pot folds so you can put them in.
Yeah. Do you know what I used to do? I can't believe I'm admitting this. I used to dip the spoon in the yogurt and then like dip it in like it was ice cream in the bits on the side. And then you'd end up running out of bits to put in the yogurt, but you did get more chocolate at the first few mouthfuls.
I think I will explain to my sister that a professional cricketer thinks that that's not a good idea, so she can be beaten in that argument. So an afternoon snack, quite a popular afternoon snack, is to have some crisps. Then having chocolate straight afterwards is like a pudding to the crisps. Is that a bit weird?
I know someone who eats crisps and chocolate together, and specifically like dairy milk chocolate that's plain and salt and vinegar crisps, so that you've got the salt and then the savoury, the sweetness of the chocolate. And she's a weirdo, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't listen to what she says, but she does do it. So I don't think that's that weird.
I mean, if you're having the crisps as a meal, it's only like having a dessert. So
chocolate follows anything, surely.
Chocolate just wins at all times, I think.
Yeah. I don't think that's too weird, yeah.
It would be weird if she went back to the crisps.
It'd be weird if she spread it on the fish finger sandwich.
And another food, we've got two more, another food-related one. In a box of Cheerios or multigrain hoops, you get four different colours. And when you get to the last few mouthfuls, leaving only the dark colour till the end, so you're like scooping out all the other ones in between. Is that quite weird?
Why? What?
Apparently the darker ones taste the best.
They all taste the same.
That's time consuming for a start. Like, these people have got too much time. And remember that guy with the Weetabix that used to leave his Weetabix for 15 minutes before he ate it? Like, who has this much time in the morning?
Also, if you're over the age of 14, why are you eating Cheerios?
Yeah.
Another very valid point. And finally, a cricket-related one. Every single innings, always batting with a sweater on, no matter the temperature. So even if you were playing in 25-degree temperatures and in one of those, like, knitted sweaters as well.
The only reason I can say that they're doing that is for weight loss.
This comes back to weird cricket superstitions, because if you remember Sarah Taylor, if she scored runs in a long sleeve shirt, she'd wear a long sleeve shirt then. Like, we were in the West Indies, it was 40 degrees, sweltering hot, and she wore a long sleeve shirt and scored 100. So then the long sleeve shirt had to stay on. So I think that's a weird cricket superstition thing more than it. I mean, it can't help it, it's just weighing down, surely.
Cricketers are weird. Like, we're all weird.
And we're a weird breed.
I will admit to that one. That was me when I was younger. But it was more of a case that I thought it would stop. It would be less painful when the ball hit me when I was batting. And then I got pinged and severely bruised my ribs and decided it wasn't worth it anymore.
I mean, do you wear a jumper when you're playing hockey or?
No, normally, like, well, hockey's more of a winter sport, so you normally got like base layers on because it's so cold.
I get the old, like, you think it's going to protect you, but it's really not.
It really didn't. So we've got through the LBWs, and now we have a short quiz on yourselves. So similar to what you've done with Heather Knight and Sophie Eccleston recently.
We've never had to do it. Oh, well, we did it for each other, didn't we, that time?
Okay.
So we'll start. We'll start with you first, Kate. So you took your second best ODI figures of 4 for 32 against Pakistan in December. Your previous second best figures were 4 for 51, but who did you take them against and in which year?
That was my debut in Trinidad against the West Indies in 2013.
Fair enough. No messing about with that one.
No, I know that one.
Alex, you have famously only been dismissed once in international cricket so far, but how many balls have you faced?
Oh, that's good. I was 40?
Not bad. 53.
You faced 40 in the innings where you and Nat put on 70 and you scored none.
And how many international wickets have you taken between the two of you?
Right, well, I've taken 43.
I'm less than you, aren't I? Because you put that out on Twitter not long ago. So I reckon between us we're about 75.
A lot more than that. So ESPN Crick Info suggests that, Alex, you've taken 42 international wickets.
Oh, not as good as I thought I was.
And Kate has taken 58. So that's 100 between you, or 101.
Yes. Yeah. It was before Pakistan you put that out, I remember. So I have had more chance to take wickets. So sorry.
My career got cut short.
Still plenty of time yet.
You think you got that extra? Where's that extra one come from?
I must have dreamt it.
On the 21st of November 2014, Alex uploaded an old headshot to Instagram with the caption, "What was I thinking?" in capital letters. But what were you referring to?
I know.
I think it was my red hair.
Yeah, it was your red hair for length. That was awful.
What was I thinking? My hair was bright red/pink.
Awful.
The only thing that could have made that worse was my eyebrows being red as well.
It was all awful.
Did you dye your hair red to tell people you played for Lanx, or is it more of a just you wanted to try that colour out?
It almost looks like I've lost a bet, doesn't it? It was that bad. But I just genuinely thought it looked all right.
And finally, one for you, Kate. On the 19th of May 2015, you uploaded a photo of Heather Knight and Lydia Greenway to Twitter using the caption, "Things have jumped up a notch in Essex." But what were they doing?
This is brilliant.
I have absolutely no idea. 2015. I dread to think. It's obviously not rude because I wouldn't have put that on Twitter. Were they in Nando's?
No. Do you know what it is, Alex?
No, it was the year before I made my debut. I couldn't even tell you if they were in England or not.
So I think it was a Chance to Shine event, and I think they were DJs. It's a cricket game.
I remember. Yeah, that was random. We were at a kids' event, and then there was just a DJ booth, so Lyd and Heather just got on the decks and started playing some tunes. It was weird.
Well, there you go. You have passed that quiz with flying colours, I'd say. Thank you very much to the both of you for joining us on Sports Spill and giving us an insight into the podcast and into your lives and your friendship. For people who listen to this podcast but haven't yet listened to your podcasts, how would you plug yourself? What would you say to convince them to give No Balls to Cricket podcast a listen?
If you want to listen to a podcast that is a complete shambles and has no recording equipment, but it's two mates having a laugh, giving some advice on life, No Balls to Cricket podcast.
I can't add anything to that. Just like, rate and subscribe us.
Absolutely. And us, please, too. So, yeah, thank you both for joining us and all the very best for the future. A massive thank you once again to Kate and Alex for joining us. And if you've liked what you've heard, then make sure you check out No Balls the Cricket podcast, available from all of your usual providers. Please also remember to like, rate and subscribe to Sportspiel. And you can also follow us using the handle at SportspielPod across social media. Alistair will be back in 2 weeks' time with another fantastic interview for you. In the meantime, stay safe, stay well, and just enjoy listening to podcasts.